Good morning, Johan Wallace, responsible for program management in the department.
William Kirana, stakeholder manager. Adolf Afton, chief director of the housing institution department.
Jenny Letsoloniani, DDG corporate support.
Dana Mokesi, department of housing. Julie Fire, monitoring evaluation of the department.
Thank you, Jefferson. Program one will be presented by Ms. Nelly Lutheran, the DDG corporate support. Program two will be shared between Mr. Matipa and Mr. Jason Brunson. Program 3 will be dealt with by Mr. Valle. Program 4 by Mr. Chiani. Program 5 by Mr. Leongo. I will deal with the overview and the strategic issues and the trends that we will connect with the presentation. Thank you very much. I think our aim remains, being that of determining finance, promoting coordination, communication and monitoring policy in the field of housing in Kenya. Our vision and house, a nation housing sustainable human settlement remains. And our mission, as we've communicated to the Commission, to establish and facilitate a sustainable process that provides affordable access to housing within the context of affordability of housing services and access to amenities and community opportunities. Our values, about the Constitution, human dignity, equality, advancement of human rights, and freedom, non-racialism, non-sexism, the premise of the Constitution and the rule of law, accountability, responsiveness, and openness. From a Monday perspective, Jefferson, Section 6, access to encourage housing as a basic human right. In terms of good government, as you saw, environment committed to progressive realization of the right. Housing is listed and respected for as a national and provincial government concurrent legislative. We also continue to be driven by the outcomes of the Capello Housing Accord, which was signed by our stakeholders, the White Paper, the Reconstruction and Development Program, and largely our program has been informed by the Comprehensive Plan for Human Settlement, the conservation of issues raised in the housing policy. Legislation, greatly protecting, continues to be the Housing Act, the main pillar after the Constitution. PIAC, the Housing Consumer Measures Act, the Rental Housing Act, and some briefly, the draft bills and regulations that were in the process of finalizing in the period. The Housing Amendment Bill, the deed omnibus, is still in process. There have been forward and backward movement around key issues in the bill, because this is aimed to cover a lot of things. The social housing bill, I think, is before Parliament. The amendments to the Rental Housing Act, I think, are pretty expensive. The left bill, as I said, confirmation that our policy overall, our overall policy framework continues to be determined. That's determined in the white paper, and then the comprehensive interpretation of the document drives our current program and the manner in which we deal with current the settlement from that comprehensive program. I think some important trends and challenges that have continued, that have emerged despite the better performance of the economy, around 5.5%, the issue of exclusion of mainly the working age population to the, and therefore with this concomitant implication to the pressure on the program and delivery. I think unemployment rate, excluding the disparities, was because in case that many conductors still remain on government for assistance in housing, which is one of the main features of that demand. We've seen trend in inflation continuing. As a result of pressure of oil, international economic development, petrol, oil, the rand, that although remaining in range bound and fluctuating, remains at certain stage weakened and then strengthened. Another factor, I think, which contribute to the pressure that gets mounted on the range of subsidies and the go forward. And these are the factors we utilize when we look at how to deal with the resource allocation and the resource bidding processes. Trading costs have risen rapidly during the 7 years due to high demand for the construction industry market. I think the BR is close to about 12.2% in the last quarter of the year under review. I think although tender prices moderated in 2006 compared to 2005, still far above inflation rate. Also, we've seen increasing building costs forcing the subsidy to be adjusted by IMF. If we are not to quality, to compromise quality and ensure that we can attract the main players that we, and partners that we want to attract in delivery of the program. We've seen interest rates increasing in the last year by about 200 basis points. And subsequently, I think there's also two more 50 basis points in fact, I think for our program is in that the ability to pay back, the effect on affordability, the ability to pay back loans. An example when now it's effective to think that somebody would have afforded to buy a house very often. And that applies in the urban and therefore challenges on the steps which they will be taken, particularly in the income category that one seeks for the lower end of the gas market, including those the year shows that bottlenecks prevail in the supply of skills of labor and material, which also, therefore, contributing part of the escalation cost to be planned for the computer. Already beginning the focus of construction shifting away from residential planning. Largely with the following implications: fuel cost of fuel cost. It has fuel cost for the given housing project. As I indicated, the pressure on prices, and I think housing projects now under pressure because there is competition now, which is increasing as a result of other major capital projects development that is attractive, but particularly to the partners who look at health and measures. So you have a choice, and you've got how to entice construction, buildings, etc. Or even commercial, the likelihood is that you take those if you can use the opportunity than you take those where there might be no issue. This is the case in our program. Strategic overview, comprehensive services, setting the tone for housing policy. The main component is the acceleration of housing delivery, the improvement of quality of the product, which we have seen from policy perspective. Of the minimum standards, and therefore the concomitant requirements to ensure that the latest costs are covered, furthering of the adoption of a single housing market, creation of an integrated human settlement, and creation of jobs through the program, create access to wealth, and empower the beneficiaries to, among other things, make the right of around the product that they receive. Our informal settlement remains a high priority, having been tested throughout through the pilot project. Another key policy issue is that we are enhancing our intergovernmental support. We've developed rules for the provinces and municipalities, which we have been augmented by initial stages of the expertise and initiatives. And related to that, social contract for housing delivery, the implementation of aspects of the contract has been pursued with the participation of the in conjunction with the partners and from our perspective, issues in some of the programs, and I think it's going to be a work in progress and continue to be implemented as we go forward. I think the collapsing of the subsidy categories and the implementation of the related program that they introduced, we introduced the coordinated loan process and indicated, and the need for the related housing program. On the improvement of the quality of housing, we developed a new housing technology, which now is being introduced. We are also looking at the related funding compensation mechanism. And I think also we hope that we will be able to ensure that we coordinate and maximize the benefits of all of the funding streams. We're constantly discussing with the PLG and LIMEP structure at technical level, following a joint meeting of the two and MINET, and to see with how we look at the other aspects related to and mitigating against coordination of the make and the housing program. We hope to see how we maximize the issue of the job structure through making use of the opportunities relating to the infrastructure program. And the financial performance, the rest of the time in the annual budget. That's a summary of the budget. If you look at the budget documentation for 2006, which provided a baseline of 5.2 billion, firstly, I think let me indicate, in the year under review, the program disaster was contained five programs. As different from what we presented in the CIA, strategic planning and planning presentation, administration, policy planning, and third program management, how to check performance, and then program funds dealing with how to develop the funds while they keep running performance. During the 2006-07 ETF process, that baseline of 5.2 was adjusted to 6. And then during the first That budget was adjusted to 6 billion. And then finally it was the budget that we had in the final adjusted budget, which contained 6.8 billion. Indicating first a shift from the Department of Public Works relating to the state money cost of 7.4 million, and then a change of 800 million largely to the country. Doctor, please, the indicating the contribution of the program, largely as you will have seen in the previous slide. Program 5, 6.4 million, 8 being the major contributor. And then we should look at the other, the other program, 3.18 housing tax performance, administration 1.1, program management 1.13, and then 0.42 being the smaller program, policy program. during the adjustment process, further adjustments were done to the budget. First to the environment program, line of measurement, and then the allocation from something unavoidable, allocations of 16 million, I will explain what we will do, and 84 million. And therefore, the final adjusted budget that we operated with was 7.3 million. There were rollovers approved for the MCQJ, which were confirmed in November, and then they produced that implementation during the reception from January to the end of the year. As a result, there were allocation of 15 billion was taken to the working class, and then other smaller adjustments, other adjustments later to the home, and then 6.3 million smaller adjustments related to the interdepartmental adjustments for assets related to a car that was transferred to the Department of Justice. what was the outcome from a spending perspective of what that adjusted allocation compared to expenditure data? From the 7.3 billion allocation, 7.165 was spent, leaving and spend amount of 107.98% of the budget. Figures for the change is such as in program 5, and that relates to transfer to the provinces. That's where we have held as a related to provinces that we are unable to spend our money. Again, at the time when the agreement at the end of the world was increased. The rest are smaller amounts that they should have for the program. Program 1, 5.5%, program 3, 2.5 million, program 4, 4.9 million. Outcomes, contribution of each of the programs in terms of spending, but the housing development grant, and then adapted now to 80% in terms of the outcomes of the program, and the rest of the program, which has been 5% of that program. That's classification in terms of the major classification in the budget for optimization, current payments, and transfers and subsidies, which is the biggest component of acquisition. And the small capital acquisition of the department, that's the acquisition for equipment, and the acquisition for the department. All of it spent efficiently, except that in the capital budget. And that is largely influenced by the access to safety policy discussion. And I think we have been affected where there were vacancies, I think which local competence is required. I think I have already explained that one. Understanding was explanation for the variance issues, the understanding you can explain there. Largely the traditional branch for Sintip and Tumalonga. And then the rest relates to personal and related costs and vacancies. And work that remains in process that we have completed, for which then some payments will be made through the transaction of the rollover process of the subsequent year, which is the current year, and adjustment. That's a breakdown of the expenditure by the sub-programs. So program one, project spending and infrastructure, property management, really the actual cost of the contract can take in the normal. And that's the negotiations and then corporate services, 90% spending, management, 90% spending. Program shows, 8.9 spending variance, largely as a result of investment. Quality information program, sub-program, and national sub-program. There was an understanding in the year, largely because of the nature of the project that has been in there, plus the areas where they were getting that made. Program 3, 96% spending, and program contained in the other one. Three sub-programs, mainly international housing subsidy program, basic program, special support program. Program 4, also mainly 10%, which contains the program for monitoring of policy and program, information management, industrial analysis, development finance, housing institutions, and housing equity, and then contributions to various institutions. For housing. Program 5, largely the housing conservation finance, house grant, the grant to the provinces in terms of the maximum settlement, integrated housing, settlement development grant, 98% spent, and I think that the result is close to. With some sort of battle with the audit report, Chairperson, indicates what is an unqualified audit report, but it has a matter of some factor. That matter relates to the processes around to the issues of the assets. Classification and costing. I think we were beaten by the transition from non-reporting of the assets into the historical assets and the new requirements. What we've done was we are now currently concluding the final classification that we've done in the current year and hope that there will be no such issue in the coming year. But we were able to account for assets, except that in the valuation we give values in terms of the old policy, all assets that you acquire, in anticipation of it, start you know, from this trade that Mishra Mama approved as a practice note, and then we have to realize, review those, and unfortunately we're not able to find some of the differences which we're not currently dealing with from the archive. Then there were other matters that were reported on by the auditor, which don't affect the fairness of the presentation of the financial statement, which is the requirement by which they report in 24 hours. During the audit, we based on interpretation and discussing the agreement with the audit, we did that material, some corrections to some of the figures, that related to the statement that we submitted to them. Although material, they were not, they were satisfied that finally they did provide. Some of them they gave in, and others they the in terms of their current standards, which have now been changed in the current year, they have to report when whatever adjustments are being made. Then they also raised the issue of the absence of an approved human resource plan, which was in the process of development but not concluded by that time because of the process relation to the structure of the department. And I would hope that that plan now is going to conclude in the current financial year. And then there were issues, I think they all relate to that adjustment, that issue, that matter of the participation to the audit. I think I'm satisfied that work has been done on the audit, such that by the end of the year we will have an agreement with the general that will be done around this program. Then they also reported on the work that was that has been process regarding the investigation of activities around the South African Housing Trust, which has been outstanding and being investigated by the station and the image of the part of the MTA, yes, which was done in terms of the information, which was looking at the processes that were followed, the fairness and whether there were any issues that subrogation of funds around the process that was followed in the establishment of the South African Housing Trust. Unfortunately, this report has been fixed subsequent to the year by our SI. Secretary, if you did not find any then there was a special audit that is underway, and then we just collected that. Chairperson, I will then ask the program, the rep program manager for them to quickly run through the program. Do you understand that program one is not in terms of the program, the EME presentation, it is accepted standard and not too elaborate one, but we did provide it for the committee to account to what it seems that we're planning to achieve under that program. And then we'll go straight to the to the COVID program. Then I will hand over to the children. Madam.
Thank you. As program one, it's basically administration, and we provide support in order for the core business to continue its business. And program one largely consists of corporate support, which is to manage the corporate functions of the department, and which entails the registry service, reception, the occupational health and safety in the department, the secretariat administrative support. We also provide building facility, physical and personnel security. And in the human resources part of it, we provide strategic...
I think to save time, don't go to program one. Go straight to program two, which is based on the program.
Thank you, sir.
For the opportunity program, two is policy planning and research. The purpose and measurable objectives has remained the same. It's basically deal with human settlement policy and then the legislation issues. Next slide, please. You'll see the functions of the these directives being the housing, human settlements, and the legislation units. Planned activities. Madam Chair, we have the Hardy Perennial of Policy for Farm Worker and Dweller, from Dweller Housing. You will recall that this issue has been completed. It was on your agenda last time as well. The work was completed and the Minister requested us to take it to the Rural Housing place after the end of this financial year that we're talking about here. But that has been completed, and hopefully in the next year we'll be able to report more fully on that one. Housing land policy, that was also completed. Framework for environmentally sound housing. Guidelines for use in housing. We had a youth conference thanks to our colleagues at the table there. Then the mainstreaming guidelines. And then, very importantly, Madam Chair, the alignment of the planning issues in housing, the alignment of the integrated development plans with treasury planning and provincial plans. Under national housing policy strategy, very specifically, there is a special housing needs assistance policy for people living with HIV and AIDS, a manual for the variation of the subsidy amount to cater for extraordinary development conditions, a backyard rental program, looking at the possibilities of supporting that trend, developing guidelines for sustainable housing development by revising the National Housing Code. Madam Chair, this is really the main achievement this year, the revision of the code to bring it in line with the comprehensive plan. Incorporated in that, the issue of new policies and minimum new standard that is introduced, the multi-year planning dispensation, which I referred to earlier, higher density housing development program, insurance cover for subsidy houses, and alignment of the labor tenants strategy with the housing strategy. Chairperson, under the framework legislation, I think Mr. Lamont has dealt with that earlier in his presentation. I'm not going to revisit that. If we can go straight forward to the human settlement policy and integration. Policy to, for the assistance to farm workers has been held in abeyance. Gone to the housing in Java, the outcomes were quite interesting. And we have since worked with the Department of Land Affairs and Agriculture to finalize this policy. Our housing land acquisition and re-strategy has been completed. It's also been approved by the NIC. And this will, of course, be underpinned and form the basis for the Housing Development Agency's operations when that comes into being. On the human settlement policy and integration side, the alignment of housing chapters of integrated development plans at the municipal level, for those provincial plans, and also the processes, strategic planning processes of treasury that has been approved, currently being implemented in workshops, and in the new structure for the department, there's a new chief director on this aspect that we get a much better planning, streamlining of resources. The framework for environmentally sound housing has been completed and it's also been incorporated into the new revised housing code. The guidelines for mainstreaming gender in housing were launched by the Minister as part of the Women's World Celebrations this year. So they've been completed. On the issue of the code, I'd just like to next slide, please. Next slide, please. Thank you. In the new code, one of the more interesting elements of it is this project, the subsidy program, which promotes integrated quality housing environment setting for a variety of income groups and land uses. And see, this is an instrument which really makes it possible for partnerships with the private sector to develop, typically developments like Lebanon Bosch, Cosmos City, etc. And mixing subsidy money with private sector money, etc. And providing a range of land uses. So if you have a complete development which has caters for schools, clinics, recreational facilities, business, etc., this instrument makes that possible. So from the code perspective, that's something new, and it replaces the old project-linked subsidy mechanism, which really just caters for plain RDP housing developments. Then, Madam Chair, we've revised the rural subsidy in formal land rights. You will be aware that this applies to areas of communal tenure, and brought that in line with the latest legislation coming out of the Department of Land Affairs, and also the processes for the vetting of land rights before subsidies are awarded. We've developed a comprehensive and detailed manual which caters for all these extraordinary development conditions, problematic soils, steep slopes, the issue of the Southern Cape condensation zone, and that's actually all costed by intervention now, which makes it possible for provinces to simply on a spreadsheet basis cost each project and bring in the additional cost over and above the normal subsidy amount. So it's a very useful tool for them to use. The other major feature, I think, Madam Chair, of the new housing code is that we've incorporated the 40 square meter minimum house, which then provides greater privacy. It provides two bedrooms, separate bathroom, a shower, toilet, and hand basin, and also an electrical board to connect the grid, which is a new feature which was not previously provided to the subsidy. We did also complete a study on higher density housing development program to assist private individuals to access subsidies to provide for higher living densities, largely for rental, etc. The costing is quite expensive to do, and in the light thereof, Madam Chair, we decided that we will do research on the broader rental market before continuing, but that work has been completed. We're still waiting for the rental market research to be completed. Then also, government's labor tenant program, which provides land for farming purposes to labor tenants, and that's the Department of Land Affairs and Agriculture Initiative. And we've aligned our subsidy assistance to also provide housing to these individuals, so that's not just stuck with a piece of land, but that they can actually have housing subsidy as well. The study on the persons who lost those guardians, that's the one which we refer to, that's largely looking at the broader picture of what happens to people who are left destitute if both parents pass away, and that have not been finalized. It's quite a difficult exercise, and we need to work very closely with the Department of Social Development in this, but that is still work that is ongoing. And then a model to assist provinces in developing provincial housing policy has been developed. And we also now have in a new structure a new director of policy assistance, which would then assist provinces also to access this model. Madam Chair, that's the end of the policy section. I think our DDD, Mr. Nopido, will probably be speaking to you in the absence of our chief director. Thank you, ma'am.
And the program two.
Madam Chair, the research part is still part of program two.
And then I'll be brief. I'll just highlight the research is very detailed, but I'll endeavor to just to summarize what is in the research.
I may not follow the slides in order, but I'll talk to the substance then. First, our research focused on, I think, about 8 issues. First is the research into the vulnerable groups, including people living with HIV/AIDS. Those are the studies that are being undertaken, and when these are clustered into setting the various groups. And the second one is the theme around alternative technology. This is an area where there's a lot of work has gone on, and most of the work is ongoing. The third area is understanding the housing demand and developing an economic model. In other areas, it will be called scenario building. So that will be another thing of research, which is also ongoing. And another cluster of research is then based on benchmarking the housing finance with the international experiences and local and so on. And we also have a theme of a cluster research paper around migration patterns and demographics and integration of communities. That will be an area that is ongoing. These were all initiated during the last financial year. Some of them have been completed. And the other theme will be a theme based on the quality of life. These are the cluster of research papers in terms of how the impact of housing into the life of our beneficiaries, doing the impact assessment. That will be the one area. The other area will be issues of Kenya. To identify the strategies to manage affordability constraints and including alternative Kenya. And some of these researches have underpinned the revision of the home and also the supported some of the most of the outputs that are in policy. The research that has come into being. And of course, we also intend going into the empirical study about the outcomes of the housing service delivery. That will be in a nutshell the things that are guiding our research. We have prioritized on those eight things, and most of them are ongoing and in order to support the service delivery. That will be the research presentation.
I'm really sorry to prepare all the way and none of you will even be able to present, unfortunately, because of time. We have just to go to focus on the areas of the modern. We're going to go to program 3.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Sorry, Chair. Is it possible? Told some of the areas of research to the departments just before they go off to program 2 have indicated which areas of research they weren't able to carry out tonight. Thank you.
Good research.
Can we, there is a slide indicating what has been achieved. Those are the areas that where we have a tangible output if we can make available. Yes, achievement. They are documenting those slides. Can we maybe the next slide? I can't remember exactly the number. A study completed, a report submitted, a study on people living with AIDS. We have indicated that the study is completed and the report is available. And some of the workshops have taken place, and where is written study report submitted, it means those reports are readily available and can be made available to the public. We may make a short presentation of the content of the study. Those reports are available. Yeah.
Chair, I wanted to suggest that we perhaps ask a few questions quickly on programs 1 and 2 before we proceed.
Members, do you agree with that approach? Mr. Gretz?
Sure, I agree with that approach. I think it would help us if we were able to enter each program on a great question.
Thank you very much, Professor. My question is based on Program 1. Mr. Dabazu, when during his presentation, indicated that there is a problem of vacancy rate. Would like to know what is the vacancy rate do they have in the department? And we would like to know which areas are affected mostly. And what is their recruitment and strategy plan to address this matter? And want to know the period for these vacancies, whether the vacancies were experienced during the period under review or it's a carry from the other years. And the other question is around the staff itself. Do you have any members of staff who have been placed with the interdisciplinary members within the department? And the period, are there any workers that are suspended? And the period of suspension for those? And the period of completion of those cases? And the issue of SIU. I think last year, if I'm not mistaken, you brought forward the report on the cases that were being followed up by the SIU from the various provinces. But I think we need to get that information, whether we're not going to get it now in a full detailed manner. We can just brief us and then following that briefing will provide us with that information. I think let's pause there. I'll follow up on our member. Thanks.
Mr. Chen?
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to follow up on the question of the Honorable Rambuza regarding the vacancies and things like that, I'm a little bit concerned, Chairperson, that the Auditor General has highlighted one of the matters, which is the fact that the department did not have a human resource plan as required by the public service regulations to enable it to define the posts necessary to perform the relevant function. So I'm a bit worried, and I'm going to listen very carefully to the answer to that question, because if a plan is not in place, I'm just wondering how the department will then determine the critical vacancies. Having said that, Chair, I just want to go on to Program 1. Under the legislation and under both draft bills in progress or finalized during the period, I noticed that the PI Act, which has been with the department now for just over 2 years, perhaps going on 3 years, is not mentioned even as being one of the votes that is under in a process of finalization. Then, Chairperson, if I may just ask, there's very specific mention made about the increase in the voting cost, which is of concern. And then there's talk about tender prices. And it is so far above the overall inflation. If the department does have a figure, what the increase in tender prices has been relative to the inflation figure? Then, informal settlement upgrade, they talk about various pilot projects that have been undertaken. Could they perhaps give us the names and the provinces where these pilot projects are being done? And just one last one, I'm going to go to Program 2 very quickly, Chair. There's an amount of 144 million that was saved on the conditional grant. Just some explanation. Thank you.
Okay.
thanks, Comrade Shepherd. And I think I'm a bit going to just really focus on program two. But before that, it's really a general comment. It would probably relate to all the programs. And that is, as others mentioned, is the vacant post. In fact, the annual report actually states here that there's a 21% vacancy rate in the department. So I'd like to just follow up on that and to get some sort of indication as to when we plan to have these things filled. 21% is extremely high. Now, focusing on program two, I think a particularly concerning figure which comes out in the presentation is that program two is only able to spend 63% of its allocation in the past financial year. Could we get an explanation as to why that is? I think that's worrying. And maybe it has to do with vacancy rate. I don't know. But if we could get some sort of indication on that. Now, the housing code, they're saying, it was told to us that the housing code is ready, but you pick up elsewhere in this annual report saying that there are delays, they have to get outside people, and it hasn't been finalized. Can they get some clarification? Is it finalized or isn't it finalized? I think also, if it's finalized, perhaps as a portfolio committee, we could actually get to see that. Because we haven't seen that. So I just want to get some clarification here, because it seems to be a little bit of confusion. Maybe it's not the case. Also in terms of, I asked the question just now, but I'll ask it formally now as part of this program too. In terms of these planned activities, I was trying to very quickly do a sort of a check as to what was planned and what's actually been achieved. And I asked for a specific reason. Could we please be told what has not been achieved? There's a whole list of planned activities. But if I look briefly, the achievements, I don't think really match the planned activities. And I think if we can't be given it now, if we'd be given it perhaps in the next week, as to what wasn't achieved, and specifically why wasn't achieved, and when will it actually be achieved. I think that would be helpful. Thanks, Jim.
This is in your mouth,
I will ask Ms. Bruna to go to the issues. And then Mr. von Brunson.
And the issues.
Who will then deal with all the issues under program 2. And they deal with the rest of the things that they may not be able to deal with at least.
Thank you, sir. With regard to the vacancies rate, the issue has been that since 2004, the department undertook a restructuring exercise. And we then went through a long process of trying to finish the restructuring process that would align our structure to meet the requirements of the BNG. And during the restructuring process, while we were undergoing, we had an agreement with the union where we had a moratorium on filling of posts. And hence, we could not fast-track the filling of the post because we were in the process of restructuring. But now the process has been completed and we are going to have a quick turnaround on filling the vacant post and we'll fast track our recruitment processes and hope to not have this vacancy rate in the future. But there was a period in the department due to the restructuring processes we could not fill the vacancy. Vacancies as we would have liked because there was an agreement of a moratorium. The second issue is with regard to the HR plan. Once again, we could not come up with a human resources plan because we were hoping for the restructuring to be finished in order to start doing our human resources. But now DPSA has got a new format for preparation of the human resources plan. And we are working very closely with DPSA and we hope that in a month or so that the human resources plan will be finalized. And both of them were linked to the restructuring process. With regard to the PIE Act, we were hoping to bring that in this year, but we did not, and we hope that in this, we have a target now of February 2008, where we will try now to amend the PIE Act to clarify the legal positions of people, persons occupying the land, and that was one of the acts that did not come into the last financial year, but we definitely hope to have the amendment processes in this financial year.
Thanks. Okay, just on the issues around program two, the understanding issue, Mr. Prabhasima, I also want to talk to that, but I think it is a very small budget. So if you skip large percentage understanding, you know, we lose two projects along the line, we don't, it looks very bad percentage wise. Issues here were really vacancies specifically in our legislation unit, which was ongoing, not only vacancies, but the director there was away on duty for protect areas. But the major understanding in that unit was because of the delays in the announced revision of all of the legislation pertaining to the settlement. That project has not come off the ground, and we do not have as a unit control over that process. So that tries to explain some of it. So we lose one or two projects, which is we budgeted for just that. Now we can actually provide you with the details of what was spent on and what was not spent on this plan, so we can do that changes in the hours time. With regard to the housing code was approved by MINLEC as a working document. It was early this year. So it is an operation. There was, however, a request that we do a range of provincial workshops involving all the municipalities. We actually did 10 workshops in all 9 provinces, 2 in the Western Cape, involving all of the municipalities, just to make quite sure that there weren't loose issues, loose ends to be included. Very little came out of that process, but there was a huge amount of misinformation picked up in municipalities specifically, and even in provinces, about what is actually in the code and how it actually works. The new unit which has been established in the Department of the Housing Policy Assistance Unit is now in the planning stage of that, doesn't think fully strong, but that will be looking at specifically empowering municipalities and provinces to understand the code better and make better use of it. So the new code, as far as we're concerned, will now go to the minister. There's a report on these workshops, and if she approves it, should be printed by the end of the year. We have it on budget for this year. We will also have an electronic version available. With regard to the planned activities not achieved, Chair, on the policy side there were one or two which were moved because of lack of capacity. We will provide you with a specific list of those. I think also, I don't want to speak about EDG, but also on the research side we will just have to go back and give you a list of what was approved, planned, what was approved and done, what was still outstanding. But there were those that are outstanding, for instance, in policy with insurance cover for subsidy housing, which we're still looking at. We've moved it, we've had to prioritize because of our capacity problems as well. So we've restructured and reprioritized those financial systems.
I hope those that suffer the first thing you'll see. We should spend it.
The issue on the relationship, and that is the policy. There was an issue of where the new workers, and what was the other. I think, as such as correction, where it is of the relationship, during the annual review, in the department, I think there are three of them. There were three, as I can recall. Two of them were very short. The substance is obvious. They can take into account the investigation, further investigation, requirements, and then the disciplinary process that is followed to conclusion. Two of them were then, all of that process went through and was concluded, went through a disciplinary process, and they were concluded. One is still pending because it contains a number of charges, none of which is related, for example, to the misappropriation of a conduct. And then I think in terms of the, one understands the labor relations process around the issue of performance, incompatibility, organizational incompatibility. That is a very, very frustrating process, because sometimes it's extremely difficult for the employer to go and deal with issues around determining that. And as a result, if that suspension has been in place for quite some time. At the end of the year, I think it would have been plus minus 2 months. And at this current moment, there are engagements with the legal representation, unfortunately. Finding amicable solution to the issue. I'm not sure whether I'm at liberty, even people can advise whether I'm at liberty to display much more detail of self-assumption, but that is in that. Chaplain, the question on the SIU progress on its report, I think I noted the department will have to produce any report to the committee about the I do know that in the quarterly report there are some progress from quarter to quarter of what seems to be with the etc. And there was, I think, in the annual report some reference to work on the teaching. But largely, most of these are teaching places, so we shall never. So I think we can provide all of that information. The issue of the plan has been responded. There was a question by Honorable Chairman. I think this one relates to the connection cost. I think we've used only the PER package. Unfortunately, we didn't make mention of what is in the. It's 0.4, yeah. In the, I think the issue is the building cost in there, but I think if you are talking about the tenant, it's usually not part of the but we may have to get there, and that's because the resource is usually there, is the development, and some of the operation. I do not have it with me. I was just looking through the analysis that we have done. But we largely deal and use as an authority that we have. The pilot project, I thought, Chaplain, we did come to the committee and progress around what pilots were in place. There was a requirement for me to be provided. I do not have the analysis with me. But I'm sure the department will provide the information. What is the job? It's jumping. It's not present here.
But there is a list of the pilot projects, including, I think, the updates that mentioned to the discussions that were held between the DGs and the president in identifying a certain, two or certain criteria, areas that need to be supported around them. We still have two components in process. There's an envelope in process. The process, there was a various other projects, I think, unknown. But I think we can provide that information after this presentation. The explanation on the money that has remained in the grant, I thought I gave, it relates to two problems, not it's in case. I think we've during the course of the year, we're doing quarterly reviews, mini-max discussions, and it became very clear that this thing is struggling to spend money on reviews of various reasons. Usually, the usual reviews, they give around 2 million of the province, the municipalities of China. And the number of those. But I think it also relates, I think what has happened since then was the province itself is undergoing a major restructuring process that affects fundamentally how housing is dealt with in Eastern Cape. Because largely Eastern Cape housing especially was an attachment and I think there was a smart attention given to capitalization of the project project management or hard skills and bodies to support that program. Currently they are in the process that is not provided of separation of the housing program so that it stands on its own and is therefore appropriately capacitated to deal with those things. That process on my way is ongoing. I think the chairperson of the portfolio committee who has present here and is dealing with that, they have also interrogated it very well. We're dealing with it on that basis. Our assessment, and that's purely from a hardcore financial person on some of the things. I hope I'm not going to be pessimistic. But I think the issue is that once you do those changes, there is always a lag between the time you actually achieve what you want to achieve. So in the current year, we're engaging with them through the Division of Revenue Mechanisms to identify, and we've identified the extent which they are unlikely to spend their money, and then the process to transfer those money in the short term for later payback with the provinces that have shown the capability to deal with spending. But that's just a short term, I presume, for the this is structural in shape of the ground information is not going to be
Thank you, sir. Thanks.
I think that's very good.
And we hope that Eastern Cape is not taking us back where we come from. Because it took some time to enable Eastern Cape to spend money. I hope this report doesn't indicate that we're going back to square one. There is in your report an issue around the Eastern Cape and flood disasters in the Western Cape. I don't want to talk about the Western Cape itself, but our issues against Eastern Cape. There was flood, fortunately there was a few on that visit. Remember those people are still staying in the tent. So we hope that as we round up this year, we're not having a similar situation continuing. Because the department took an undertaking when we were there that that scenario will be rectified. So that's one element I think should be dealt with. The other issue was the issue of your one of your staff members who was involved in a car accident at some point. I think your support to the minister funded the game. We just want to know how far is the situation. Still with you? What is the condition? Because we remember the last time the committee had an engagement which was a function at the minister's place where the member was there. So we never had anything after that. I think it was a caring government who would like to know the condition. Members, I think let's dispense with this. I guess it's Mrs. Newman. Mamuta Mbuza is the last one.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just wanted to get clarity. In terms of the housing code, from what I understand, it's a working document, I'm not quite sure. But when the things that have been raised here and achievements, for instance, I'll give you page 27 of this presentation, you can be given to us now, talks about the promotion of integration, etc., and what the code says, and it was actually specifically said about schools and clinics, etc. But in reality, that's not happening. Now, I just want to get an understanding as to when does this code become enforceable. Because also on page 28, it talks about, we're told that the code features and specifically speaks about the 40 square meter house, what needs to be in the house, etc. But my worry is, and what I'd really like to know is, when does it become enforceable? I think that we do need to know. Secondly, just in terms of the Auditor General's report, on page 75 of the annual report, the Auditor General makes specific reference to differences, inconsistencies between the annual report and the strategic plan. And I'm just wondering if there's a response from the department in terms of that. The Auditor General actually refers particularly to Program 2 on page 75 in the annual report. Can we get a response to that? Thanks very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Mine is on page 23 on the planned activities, the last one, Program for Aligning ICTs and Housing Sector Plan. I would like to know from the department how do they manage to do this, because to my understanding, there have been problems or challenges of the municipalities that did not manage to submit their sector plan. So I would like to know how did you manage to do this successfully. And then the last one, I think Comrade Grace has raised something about the position and the general report. But mine is about the internal audit. Do we have any internal audit within the department? And is it functioning well? Thank you.
I may not have this opportunity. I just want the policy unit around the issue of gender mainstreaming guidelines. It will be proper for those guidelines to be given to the committee that we can scrutinize and look at it. We would ask you to say whether there is a gender focus for use in the department. What we don't want is the issue of gender around August 9th. It becomes an event that we have a function. Build house on August 9th, after August 9th, everything just to square one. I think we want a serious gender mentioning in a meaningful sense. So if you don't have an answer now, it's not a problem. But you are highlighting as you go forward that is the issue that needs to be focused. And also, in terms of the department, who is responsible for gender and at what position that person is? Because if that person is at a junior level, not going to help. That person should be able to take decisions and implement decisions. If it's your responsibility, that's fine. But you would like to see the results. Okay.
I'm going to see if I can respond to the issue because the housing access that the minister must approve or consider the National Housing Code. In consultation with the MEC. That's the legal position. This code was presented to the MINEC. Our reading is that the code entered into effect upon the approval by Mimnek of the SCOTUS. They said that it's a working document, they approve it, but they just wanted to fill a round of minor consultation and discussion before it was finally printed. And as I said, that didn't bring anything to the fore. So my understanding is that that code was approved, that's our interpretation, by Mimnek earlier this year. We do intend taking it back to Minister just with that report to say that there's nothing going on for the further consultation. The issue, of course, is, Chair, the planning of housing projects takes place, as you know, over a period, so you won't see the effects already. But what it does do is it internalizes some of the projects which are already there, like, for instance, Cosmos City, Rivermont, etc. It makes that possible to do with some private projects and partnerships. So that's what I was referring to. That is now possible to achieve within the legal precepts of the code. The issue of the strategic plan alignment, yeah, the strategic plan is quite an old document, and you will know that things change quite rapidly. And we don't always have plan the activities that we actually carry out. So that there is that misalignment. It's been overtaken. The strategic plan has to an extent been overtaken by other priorities. See, with regard to the housing plan and the planning issues of the IDPs, I'd just like to explain what we've done is we've developed an instrument which provides a model for a housing sector plan in the IDP process. So it becomes a component of the integrated development planning process, and we're supporting that now with the chief directors who are actually supporting municipalities to use that tool to do proper planning, to look at what the needs are, how they can be satisfied, what land it will be on, etc. Those IDPs, as you know, there's been a number of reviews of IDPs and the success that they've had in the past. Ongoing work, so IDPs can only become better if they implement and use this tool. And a couple of years down the line, we hope to have them properly aligned, and then the municipal plans, of course, are built, or the provincial plans, housing plans, are built on that, and these are the strategic plans required by Treasury. So it's basically a tool which we put in place, and we're promoting that. In some areas, it's already being done. In other areas, there are gaps. I know that the IDP review process has shown a number of gaps with regard to IDP planning. Here's just maybe on the gender mainstreaming guidelines, there's a nice little booklet. We will provide you with that. And then I think maybe our colleagues from the corporate support unit could comment on the placing of the gender focal point.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try to answer two questions here. The issue about internal audit. We do have an internal audit unit, and they have done some 70 achievements in this last financial report that we said. And in order to inform the House, I can say that they facilitated the strategic risk assessment and updated the departmental risk register. They developed a 3-year strategic plan and an annual audit plan. They completed, they did some projects, they conducted coordinated internal audit forums between the national and the provincial department. They've also conducted internal assessments of the internal audit department, and they provided support and coordinated the audit committee, and 7 meetings will happen during the period of review. And they've also done some of the review of our departmental processes and procedures. With regard to who is responsible for gender, we in the new structure we have given due importance to issues of gender and elevated it to a chief director position. We have got a chief director for transformation who will be largely responsible for gender issues in the department. Thank you.
All members,
unless Mr. Chabani wanted to add.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think there is just one or two things that I have been asked and maybe asked again, so we will need to deal with them. Chairperson, there was a question that relates to, I think, the Asian statement. Particularly, I think, in comparing what the Asian is now beginning to do as a performance based body. This is the first year in which they were doing this. If you look at the tables, they are great work, then carefully, they're rather than just 10 parties. They were inconsistent, they were so inconsistent that they don't mean that. Except for what is reported and what is on program 2, which in fact reflects, I think, an error in the DNE. Otherwise, the rest is consistent. Around the target, because even in previous years, the target was 40 minutes the target. However, I think if you look at the ENE is something that does have program purposes, then key strategic objectives, and then they leave, some of them go down to a sub-program. And I think it's the wording there, which the intentions and outcomes are not necessarily inconsistent. But the wording used, and it relates to the approach that you have, the general approach is the issue of measurable objectives, to say, to give us, put it on target basis. In the strategic plan, we indicate what is intended, and the target is put in a different column. For example, you state your objective, then there is a column that uses the measure, how to measure that, and what is your target, and it's reflected as well. So I think for us, we've looked at it and we've said, look, we will just make sure that when we produce the document, we ensure that treasury, in the treasury discussion, there aren't such changes in the manner in which things are reflected, that it can be interpreted to be changing what is otherwise the objective of the department, or the way in which we structure the documentation can lend itself to the right on a consistent basis. Because if you read, except what I've been hearing in program 2, the objective is strategic plan indicated as that. But that strategic objective would be reflected elsewhere, indicating that adequate housing for all participants by 2030 is fulfilled. Now, in the ENE, it reads, and if you were to correct that miscorrection to 2014, adequate housing for all participants by 2014, you would see that it reads the same. Except that was the issue. And I think we will correct it in the ENE. We didn't raise it to the AG. He said, I'll put this because next year I want to be able to, because next year I'm going to concentrate on the lower level of that. That you must make sure that your strategic objectives and ENE read exactly the same, because it becomes difficult for me to know which one is which. And then I think that is an ongoing discussion in which we will need to try to ensure that our ENE, they don't change our ENE in line with the approach to some of the key areas in their presentation of this. So it's an issue of wording. All of those things are things that point to the objectives that we want to achieve. Except that one is well official. And I think in the future we will make sure that it is the same. And we'll try and align the understanding of the meaning of those terms, strategic objective function, and deliverables to be the same. Thank you.
We just want to say also that the achievement with regard to the issue of minimum standard 40 square meter subsidy house. I would applaud that, because I think this is a long battle of the portfolio committee to ensure at least we move away from 90 square meter to 40 square meter. And we are happy that today this has been achieved. And we hope that it will be included in your revised housing code. Thanks. Let's move to program 3 and program 4.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. As in the previous 3-4 years, our purpose and measurable objectives for Program 3 have not been amended. You will recall that we are largely responsible for the development of the National Health Program, our special program support directorate, and also the, I always want to say, the previous capacity building directorate, which is also now in our new restructuring of the Crown Pizza India Chief Director, by the way. But for the purpose of our reporting year, 06-07, they were still under the auspices of the particular program. There's just somewhat of a qualification. This program was probably more severely affected by our restructuring exercise than any of the other programs, in the sense that our activities will totally change in the future as a result of that restructuring exercise. But as part of the transition period and as a build-up to the restructuring, some of the activities which were originally identified in our strategic plan as our responsibility were actually transferred to other and or new units during the course of this particular reporting year. And some of the activities which were then done were completed not by ourselves but by under the responsibility of other units. And some of our staff were even transferred either temporarily to provide assistance within those units. And I will just give an indication of those cases. So I will mention some activities that were actually completed, not necessarily by myself, but by another unit. But because we are required to report vis-a-vis our strategic plan, we are reporting it in this way. Just to make that clear, Madam Chair. Thank you. Next slide, please. Madam Chair, the Community Residential Unit Program, which is previously our Hospital Redevelopment Program, that was completed and approved by MINMEC during their March 2007 meeting. That actually replaces, as I indicated, the old hospitals program, and this was one of the activities which was not completed by myself, but in fact completed by our new social housing and rental PhD chief directorate, which was created. Similarly, the social housing program was approved by MINMEC in November 2006, also completed by the other units, but it was, as I indicated, part of our original strategic plan as one of our intended activities. And Chair, I think it's important to note that these two programs, the Community Residential Unit Program and the Social Housing, the new Social Housing Program, have in fact now been aligned and are in support of one another as they relate to very much the same type of developmental issues, rental, community development, etc., etc. You will recall that there was an original social housing policy approved by MINMEC in 2005, and that was revised, and the new one was then accepted in November 2007. Madam Chair, the Fully Development Housing Program, which Mr. Van Broom referred to, was also completed, but that was actually done by the policy unit, also as part of a transfer of these functions to different units. The extended procurement regime, Madam Chair, that was not completed by ourselves. That is now being captured within the context of the new code. Namely, that the new code would now provide for any procurement activities to be done within the context of procurement legislation, PFMA, etc., etc. The subsidy quantum during this particular year, Madam Chair, was increased based on the Bureau of Non-Economic Research Building Cost Index from the old 31,929 rand, I think, to 36,582. and that's what we have now made available during that particular year. The finance linked to individual subsidy scheme for the income group 3,507 was in fact completed, Madam Chair, but there was ongoing involvement with BASA in this regard. They originally had a number of queries. Those were all sorted out, and this subsidy scheme is in fact now available for use by provinces, individuals, etc. The enhancement of the subsidy qualification criteria, Madam Chair, was actually an activity identified somehow in our strategic plan, but that was already completed in the 05-06 financial year. I suspect, and I didn't go back on this one, it was a two-year project in terms of our strategic plan, but we actually completed that within the first year. But it remained then on the following year's strategic plan. Madam Chair, we also completed an investigation regarding recurrent service costs of our beneficiaries and whether the Department of Housing could in any way assist in assisting beneficiaries to cover some of their recurrent costs, rates and taxes and the such. This report was eventually submitted to the Minister. It was just by the way decided that housing should not become involved in these types of activities. It's a DPLG local government function, and we should not get involved in this. Madam Chair, the framework for inclusionary housing was approved, and the guidelines, I think they've been completed now, or they're still in process. They will be completed in the current 07-08 financial year. NHBRC warranty cover for all the other subsidy schemes were completed in the 05-06 financial year already, similar to the previous enhancement of the subsidy qualification criteria issue. Madam Chair, in terms of the Human Settlement Redevelopment Program, all funds have now been transferred to provinces. They were, in fact, in the previous year transferred to provinces, and the majority of work on the Human Settlement Redevelopment Program involved site visits to projects, checking of completion reports received from projects, and checking on budgetary arrangements within the context of each and every project to check whether the business plan and what was delivered on the ground in fact were the same thing, and where the provinces and or local authorities moved within the context of the approved business plan. I may just mention that at the end of 06-07 there were still 64 projects not completed. There was a limited amount of money outstanding in payments, but those projects will be completed within this current financial year. Down the next slide, please. The residential pilot project on housing, Madam Chair, 3,500 units were actually completed in Witbank, and another 512 units were underway in this 06-07 year in KZN. The proposal call for phase two of this project also went out in July 2006. 14 municipalities responded. 6 municipalities were shortlisted. Their pre-feasibility studies were completed in March 2007. And we will now appoint the transaction advisors in terms of the prescribed Treasury PPP process during this current 07-08 financial year. As far as housing consumer education, Madam Chair, is concerned, we have now rolled out this program in the other 7 provinces. You will recall that in our previous year report, we piloted this in 2 provinces. It's now been rolled out, in other words, in all 9 provinces. We have trained a total of 1,200 and just over 1,200 field trainers. and they have already managed to reach 10,000 beneficiaries in terms of the healthy consumer education program, either in as on an individual basis or by way of contacting communities. The old Homie to Homie radio show, you remember, Madam Chair, we talked about last year. We followed this up with a new radio series, Ari Akeng Zanzi. That was broadcast on 13 radio stations in all 11 languages. So that project was then also completed. As far as other capacity building activities were concerned, we had specific seminars and workshops in the three provinces of Northwest, the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape at their request on specific matters. The Council Induction Program, which has, by the way, been aligned with all the other programs of your other line departments, such as DPLG, Water Affairs, etc. We have now completed a handbook and a facilitated guide, and this is currently being rolled out, Madam Chair. In other words, not our reporting year, this current 07 or 08 financial year. Our training program for sanitation, health and hygiene was completed. We have trained 60 community development workers in order to roll this out provinces. Chair, the Cuban program is being managed on an ongoing basis. We still have, I think, 63 Cuban professionals assisting provinces, particularly in relation to the PhD processes. As part of this exercise, we did an assessment of this project, whether we are actually gaining any advantages out of this program. Some recommendations were made on how these people could in fact be used more effectively, and provinces are now implementing those recommendations. The scholarship program, Madam Chair, I'm happy to say that also as a result of comments of this committee in the previous year, we have now increased our intake to 23 new scholarship awards, where the previous year we only had 7. But once again, the 23 awards, we would have liked to make that more, but we do have our budget constraints as well. As far as housing practitioners training is concerned, we had 32 virtual practitioners trained in the four provinces. In terms of professionalization, Madam Chair, we developed two qualifications. The first one was the Housing Consumer Education, developed at NQF Level 1. And then we have also developed a bachelor's degree in housing at NQF Level 6, which was advertised for comments. And we are currently in collaboration with the CETAs looking at these comments. All 9 business plans of provinces were in fact completed and submitted to the MECs and our department, Madam Chair. In terms of general training on housing policy, the housing programs, newly developed housing programs, legislation, etc., we conducted 34 courses during the course of this particular year, and 9,351 officials, counselors, and people attended these training courses. In terms of the emerging contractor training program, which is being managed on our behalf by the NHBRC, 1,372 emerging contractors were trained and the web training by the NHBRC, Madam Chair. Chair, just a last comment, if I may. There were a number of uncompleted activities by this program, largely due to personnel constraints. Those are in fact listed in our schedule, and the reasons for each output which was not achieved is also in fact given on the, in that schedule on pages 52 to 54, 55, I think. Madam Chair, that would then conclude my presentation on the program, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wallace. Can I go then to program 4, then after that we can engage? All right, then.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be tackling that one. I'll quickly highlight that during the financial year, equity was brought into a component as part of the supervised objective and include the same schedule. So we move. Can you skip this one? Madam Chair, I just want to go straight to the sub-program of this program. Starting with information management, it tackles related to providing critical business information systems and maintains national powers and database and information systems and provides access to business and analyzes information. And then we'll look at the achievements of the period. Maybe let's keep the objectives and look at the activity. During this period, we developed and implemented a plan for a new allocation formula for the for the division. And we also compiled it in public and updated health investment potential atlas. The document is generally circulated within the Department of Province, so I'm not sure whether it's issued by the Civil Committee. But we also compiled and published the management information handbook for how the fellowship. These are produced quarterly. The climate information is demographic and what is the implementation pattern. And we redeveloped the website of the department. I hope people do a good check on the redesign the instance information portal with access report. I think we're creating a knowledge center for the development of a database waiting list, especially for the city of Cape Town. The rollout of upgrade housing subsidy system aligned with the policy of PNG. 80% improvement in the verified alignment of financial and non-financial resources. That is how the reporting has been progressed today. Next one. Obviously, these are some of the services that were rendered, some internally within the department, but likely within the sector, because we support the sector in a more strategic sense. Website, especially when it tackles women and housing and PHP team, and then the internal environment itself, strategic planning. I think what we intending to do, or we're striving to do, is that our reporting system must be well aligned with our policy, so that even this annual report and all of the reporting up to present all in the. And we have a library ahead of it. We're trying to keep it well stocked and having all of the interesting information, especially the whole of the stuff up to date before the 2019 environment. And we also, the housing demand database project is finalized in the city of Cape Town. And then we should have sent it to the other open people. So I think it's also sent it to the open people and these are some of the outputs rendered. I don't know whether you want me to go through them or not, but we just want to say, especially the first one, social contact for us all this year, logistics around the key. They are always challenging. The important units have been able to stop to speak with this, and so far we've been. The housing subsidy system, I think, while improved, is going to get a revised, improved version that can come in in the next year or so. The interface of the system is that coming before that person is also critical. The digital planning template will interact with it tomorrow. And the training on data systems to enhance capacity has been conducted lightly within the department in some sections and also to process. A lot of what is listed, especially the first 2 bullet points in this slide, has been meant to capacitate our institutions to interact much better with the institutions. Because that's where the survey is. It's only a concern that people are not sure how to really use it. We also produce thousands of sheets, which means statistics that we collect from projects. What is the shortage of in terms of your exposure? Much more refined and much more accurate than the other exposures that we pay to the end of the project. And the surplus on the formal segment, version 1 has been produced, and also where the potential for investment. So that those that are intending to invest can upfront determine where the cash for what is going to be going to. The GIS viewer. And the system is almost similar to what DNA has. You'll be able to sit in the office and look at the table. That's why you're linking with the portal. And that is one of the big records, great work that is being done in the communication. How the information handbook is being updated regularly. The application for development has completed also this year. The allocation formula has been extensively revised. I think the one that has been approved in Greece is quite user friendly and talks to the approach of DHC. So the unit also developed and made available and a net digital tool for online offline data analysis and mining. We'll then move on to monitoring and evaluation, which monitors and evaluates the planning and implementation of performance of social housing policy and programs, including assessing the impact of national housing policy programs on beneficiaries. During the period, the clinic was able to start monitoring and evaluation impact assessment framework based on objectives of the comprehensive plan. And it has commenced the development of electronic application of monitoring and evaluation impact assessment working in conjunction. And the publication of updated information on performance of national health programs. It has developed a generous reporting format to align social reporting on financial and non-financial information. This is a collaboration effort with information. So that when you read the similarities in how they are, you must understand that it is within the department we have to collaborate on our work as well. It has developed a performance indicator to measure performance in the sector for which our business plan. This is also in line and in collaboration with finance as well as the human settlement plan. And our housing institution plan program monitors the performance of our institution. And this includes NHFC.com, THFQ, VHF, NHDRC, Redisha, NHDRC, Manager, and Yoruba Chilot, this unit was able to produce whatever reports was required for the housing students. Yoruba Chilot as well, all the public entities, the public entity policies of the Lord approved. And this unit has to develop the self-migration plan due to the CSA framework on the structure of public institutions. And that framework was established in the department and the state government and the human rights. A review on the role of housing support issues in support of the comprehensive housing plan was also conducted. They achieved the Ministerial support on the establishment of second housing solutions, the extension of money for solution initiatives, the establishment of the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, the establishment of the Social Housing Foundation, as well as the People Housing Partnership. All the public entities for the airport was developed and public entity policy was developed in this position. But what is key here is the last bullet where the staff migration plan was established. This plan has already been used in the migration of the staff from PHP and the absorption into the department. So that staff form from PHP is not enough. I think Social Housing Foundation is establishing the social change, so it's much effective. Now, the development finance, this component was part of what industry analysis and development finance. During this period, due to the restructuring, development finance was taken out of industry analysis and therefore started operating in this field. For the part of the period that is operated, the second was trends, syntax, and patterns in housing and investment finance against government development programs. So that's what development finance got to do for this period. Okay, let me leave the contract. Go straight to what they have been able to do during this period. The youth produced reports on trends, impacts, and patterns in housing and investment finance against government development programs. We also produced reports on the performance of the market economic sector, including the field affected inflation, exchange rate, GDP, etc. You've noticed that as well in the opening section when you look at 10 on the economy. This unit plus industry analysis were the generators of the direct. But at some point, the state has necessitated that development finance starts looking at issues pertaining finance more than just generalities. And housing and economics that publication has produced, this is a collaboration where industry analysis, development finance compile their reports and make it in a publication for circulation for ease of reference to what is happening in the economy, whether it's private circulation, whether it's construction finance, or quarterly the publication. Which then brings us to industry analysis as separated from development finance. Its purpose was to monitor and analyze the impact of government housing policy and programs on the construction sector, the financial sector, and the economy. That's why in the table for this one, the financial sector was not taken out because the change happened during a period of the crisis, and therefore we had to retain the table. Launching the work of industry analysis, started shaping in a took the form of liaising and mobilizing the private, the public sector stakeholders to participate in some social fund of profit from the seminary. What initiated from that union and the combination of the signing of the social contract was the outcome. That is why we're seeking to report on the social contract from that unit. At 13th unit, we established a jail with obstacles that make or prevent the beginning of projects because it pertains to down payment financial issues and so on. And during this period, a study was undertaken because it covered that a lot of startup contractors or SMEs pulled much quicker than the expected norm of 2 years. And this was pertaining to government. So the study was undertaken to check what is the reason why most people are what is available and integrated to all provinces. Most of the bottlenecks are there at the state. As well, during this period, in
Roundup,
this is the last one. Made a change. The 1,000 hours held in the quarter and the unit was instrumental in the implementation thereof, as well as assist the now human settlement program in the land of property acquisition. Last one. The automatic building technology as it pertains to the innovation hub is also part of the work that the team is doing, and also the policy likely in federal program as it pertains to the AMCAS program, as well as the construction of the institution. Or should we just quickly finalize on the office of the project? Okay. I'll go straight to the achievements then. Right. I think as it pertains to some regulations that have been developed, and the consultative process concluded with the government, and stakeholders contacted and on the draft regulation. Currently, the setting up of IT infrastructure is being taken care of, and negotiations on the SSC and MOU are consistent with all of that. Compliance manual is at an advanced stage. I think it was the reason this current financial year. That's it.
Thank you very much. Remember, I don't know whether you want body break or you want to engage. I think it's been a long day. You want to engage? Okay. You can engage, but let me allow Madam Gambola to share your break.
Okay.
What's
your break?
Director of Transformation in the Construction Sector Subdirector. clear here that the process is long overdue with no appointments having taken place.
Mm-hmm.
I just get an indication as to what is happening there, whether that's been filled, and what has the impact on the department been with that post having been vacant for a long time. Then, in terms of the home loan, mortgage, and foreclosure regulations, now I know that previously when we've engaged, we've been incorrectly informed that obviously there's been processes around the financial services charter, etc., which haven't had an impact on the implementation of this offer. When can we get an indication as to when this would actually come into place now? The appointments of members of the office and all the other things. When is this actually going to be implemented? Despite the fact that there have been reasons, but I think we need to know when it's going to be implemented. I just want to also comment, Chair. During the presentation and here in this program as well, there's a number of publications that are made by the department, various documents, etc. But we never get to see those as a portfolio committee. We never get to see those, and I think we probably get left behind in many instances. And I'm just wanting to check how can portfolio committees, where relevant, be placed on the distribution list. I was just quite interested in these housing management information handbook and housing fact sheets. We don't get that. So that should be a request, and I think we need to get something on it. We've raised it before, by the way. It's not happening. I also just wanted to just quickly get the interaction with Transnet and the Department of Public Enterprises. Could you just give an indication as to how far that is? We did have a discussion last year, and we were actually given quite a lot of information around that, and we were told it was sensitive at the time. But could we get some sort of sense of where is it at the moment? It doesn't tell us very much here. Thank you.
Sure.
Mine is simple, and just let me thank the presenter. That will have an impact because they said something on slide 37 and 38 on training for the CDW. 1,200 field workers. Also, I needed the geographic 50. Whether there's any impact today because they are paid that consumer education. I would also like to know about the scholarship of about the 23, if I'm not mistaken. And the gender, whether 23 boys or 23 girls, and also the record about those who have been trained. And what will happen on the 1,200 field trainers after they've done their job of training around 10,000 communities. So mine is the impact, whether there's any impact. If not, what's your turnaround strategy?
Can you
know
another thing?
Sure. On the CDWs, where do they come from? When I'm referring to the geographic. And who's remunerating these 1,200 people, and what will happen to them thereafter?
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on Program 3, Chairperson, and I know it was said right at the outset that this program was affected by the restructuring, and other units were doing some work. But looking at 3 and 4, I see very specific overlaps, particularly when it comes to capacity. So perhaps, and it could appear that Program 3 almost deals exclusively with capacity in terms of support and promotion. So I just want that distinction there to the purpose of 3
And the purpose of four appears to be more in monitoring and evaluation. Then just to follow up on Mabena's thing there, I also want to add my voice to the fact that notwithstanding all these capacity building and money that's being spent, there's no evidence on the ground when we go to provinces, to municipalities, that there's any capacity taking place. So my question is, how are people identified, and is there a follow-up in terms of they've attended a workshop or whatever, do they actually apply what they've learned, or are they identified for very specific reasons, or does municipalities just send 2, 3, 4, 5 people to various workshops? That takes care of three chairperson. Then on program 4, and I'm looking at the slide which is on page 42 where it talks about 80% improvement in the verified alignment of financial and non-financial reporting. One of the problems that I've got, and I've raised it in other forums previously, is that in the reporting, and we talk about financial and non-financial, it's very well for us to get a report that says 98% of the money is being spent. But then we get something that says there's so many houses built or under construction. Now, surely we should be able to now get a distinction between the number of houses actually built and people are occupying them and the number of houses under construction. Then, Chair, a general question which links up to what Greg earlier asked. There's a lot of reports here and studies that have been done. And I'm almost positive it will enable us and it will capacitate us as well to do our jobs better. But we only become aware of these things at meetings like this. We never see them. They are not published. I don't know why these reports, is it just an internal thing or is it for external use as well? And that leads me to the other question regarding a whole lot of things that have been done, the GIS, DOA, etc., and analytical tool for online and offline data analysis. Are these purely for internal use or are they for external use as well? One of the concerns that I've got, and I've expressed this previously, Chairperson, and I'm looking at 46, the achievement first draft monitoring. This department is not a new department, and yet every time they appear before us, it's the monitoring and evaluation department is being set up for the first time. And so it's a concern that I have that it's the same thing, it's almost business as usual. They come before us with the same objectives, with the same achievements. There's nothing new in all this thing. One last one, Chair, that I must ask. The monitoring and performance of the housing institutions. Unfortunately, I only got this annual report yesterday, but I had a chance last night to start at the beginning. And the very beginning is housing institutions. And with one or two exceptions, our housing institutions are in a crisis. And it says there in the report, both in terms of their expenditure as well as their achievements. And according to this that we just had, you get quarterly reports. My question is, do you not pick up on the quarterly reports that there's a crisis, that there's something wrong? Thank you.
Over to you, Mr. Williams.
Thank you, Chair. I will try and...
Of course, Mr. Williams.
Yes, and I think my duty is at hand to take care of that effort I have made. I will start off with question raised by Honourable Greg, especially on the vacancy of the DG construction. I think this report is in good faith, in line with HR requirements, but the position has been clear. I'll allow others to deal with the home loan and what is going to happen with that. I'll leave it one. But in terms of the publication, rather within the department, I can only talk to those that we produce. They get the data. They get the public sector as well. But I'm not sure in terms of the relating information to your commission, how it is done. Maybe we need to agree on that. And the DG is about to make it. question of transness and ATP and the land to couple with being negotiated with. I know what the project was for me, not only in my area, I've never had the history of correctly myself, but my villages may have some form of control.
And I'll just quickly go to the ones that have impacted me and the question raised by Honorable Lutman and by myself on the city of Lille, those who were the judges by Johan, Valik, and the others were housing institutions that were trying to catch in a way. I think why we're saying the unit in the department is saying it's done in fact and still discussed at the top standard. It implies that the department is done our way. We return. We have a post. We know exactly the situation that there is, and there's an decision that has been taken. But the recording that is here is against the standards and measurable objectives of the unit, and therefore the detail of information that you're looking for may not come out of here. But I think in the report, where you pick up where the institution itself is discussed, it is cited. Exactly that this machine is going through this type of work and the department is taking it. And I would maybe take this opportunity to pass on to Aaron.
I think with the Office of Disclosure and the Home Loans and Mortgage Disclosure Act, a lot has happened since the last date of the annual report, so 31st of March. The regulations were presented to this committee, and it has been promulgated on the 13th of July. So that implements the act. In terms of the establishment of the office, nominations have been received from members that will constitute the office. They have been shortlisted and forwarded now for approval of appointment of those people to the office. In the interim, though, a lot has happened. The whole consultation process has been concluded with the banks, with the Reserve Bank governor, as well as the Minister of Finance. The banks now will be required in terms of their tax disclosure information. And it's critical that we get this going quickly, because this will define the targets that the banks have indicated through the FSC process, the 42 billion rand, as to exactly where those investments are taking place. So it is critical that we get this off the ground. So I think the delay was in getting the regulations promulgated. Now that it is, the banks will have to comply with the legislation and disclose information to the office. The facilities are basically in place to receive information and start monitoring that. So it's a matter of, the act also then provides for banks to approach the Minister for Exemption in disclosing in the first year, and that will obviously need to be considered. They haven't approached that yet with regards to that. Just to elaborate on the housing institutions, the quarterly report that's been referred to are actually an analysis of all the quarterly reports of all the institutions. And we must agree they have problems with the institutions. We've been having a look at it. Since we got involved, there isn't any point in us receiving focus on foster institutions, but rather engaging with them at the offices to understand exactly what they do and the kind of impact that they have in line with the intentions for which they were created. So there is a lot of work around that. There's a review of the institutions. There's a review that's a parallel process. A review of institutions currently being undertaken by Treasury as well. And a lot of these institutions fall within that review. So we are getting much closer to the institutions to see what kind of impact they're having in terms of the reasons for why they were created. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair. Shall I take the questions in relation to Program C? Thank you. As far as the training of community development workers is concerned, firstly, they are identified in collaboration with provinces and municipalities in terms of the DPSA guidelines who oversee the community development worker program. So they are identified within or from different communities, Madam Chair, and they are remunerated for, obviously, for the work that they do. But, yes, it is true that in certain instances, the work comes to an end. And that has been one of the problems of the whole community development work program, is that it's not necessarily a lifetime job which this person will have, and that the task does come to an end. As far as the geographic spread is concerned, Chair, I will have to obtain that for you. I don't have that at hand, but I can have that sent to the committee. In terms of the scholarship, the gender, if you don't quote me, it's roughly 50-50 in terms of gender. It might be a 45-55 currently. We have, I think, 12 different criteria according to which candidates are selected. One of these is, in fact, the issue of gender. But once again, I can also let you have this information, even the names of the person, their gender, the direction in which they are currently studying, etc., and I can send that through to your secretary. In terms of the field trainers, many of the field trainers are in fact housing officials within municipalities. So part of the exercise was capacitating the very housing official that is going to work with these issues in the future, and he or she then becomes either a full-time or a part-time trainer of communities, individuals, on how the housing policy works, how to apply for a subsidy, what are the qualification criteria, etc. So we try to kill two birds with one stone to a large extent. But there are also cases where we also used other people on a contract basis, particularly in or close to local authorities which do not have housing units, and there are quite a few of them. And there we had to appoint on a contract basis people to act as trainers to go into communities and enlighten them, as it were. The other problem that we have, and that relates to one of the next questions, is if we agree that we have already approved in the region of 2 odd million beneficiaries, 2 million housing subsidies are approved, and there are quite a few in the pipeline, how do we play catch up in order to for the housing consumer education program to reach each and every beneficiary? So we're trying to find a balance, Madam Chair, in going back to beneficiaries who have since 1994 benefited from the program. In other words, how do you look after your house? Those types of things. What does land tenure mean? But also in the same breath, we're trying to reach the very same people that are going to receive a house next month and in 3 months' time and in 4 months' time. And in terms of budgeting constraints, we find ourselves very, very thin on the ground if we look at the total demand as it were. So it might be possible that you actually go into communities and you don't see the results necessarily of this consumer education program. And maybe that's the thing that we must, as a department, look at and coordinate on a more definite basis with provinces. On what are the priorities in reaching communities. As far as officials are concerned, in training, it's very difficult for the Department of Housing, quite obviously. to identify on behalf of a province or on behalf of a local authority who they should send for training. By and large, it's housing officials. Unfortunately, and this is very, very true, we find it very, very difficult to get more senior officials at these courses. They do tend to send the middle management or junior officials. Madam Chair, we are all here in senior management. As you know, we know it all. No one can teach us anything. But that happens in other departments as well, or in provinces. They don't attend the training, and they do tend to send junior officials. As far as the capacity building function is concerned, yes, by and large, Program 3 in this particular year was responsible for managing the national capacity building program. But you will find in many instances, for instance under Program 4, that certain types of capacity building is being done by line functionaries themselves. The one meeting which, for instance, tackled HSS, there's no way that this capacity building unit consisting of 9 or 10 people can actually do capacity building with provinces and the local authorities on the HSS system. But the meeting needs to do that itself. This capacity building unit, for instance, cannot do Mr. Zabantu's financial type of capacity building training, what is required in terms of reporting. That is being done by the line functionaries themselves. I hope that tries to explain that question, whether from Mr. Spain. Madam Chair, I think that concludes the questions that were directed to Program 3.
To Mama Dambuza first, followed by Mabena. Mr. Spain. Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you very much. Mine is only on page 36, letter on page 36, on the issue of NHGRC warranty cover, which was approved in 2005-2006. What I would like to know, since the department, what are they doing for those provinces that have built houses in 2006-2007 and they did not comply with the NHGRC warranty cover? For instance, the Eastern Cape, Mr. Zaman is aware of that. We were together in the Eastern Cape. There was no NHGRC there. So what are you doing for that those issues? And with other provinces too. On the issue of Fulbright Capital Finance, on page 38, the children program. Last month we were in Tizana and we had a meeting with the housing department in some case and also the OR Tambo region. And they confirmed to us that they are not utilizing the children program and pay money and plan. They said they are not using those children jobs to do the civil housing process to come to that program. Engineering, yeah. They said they are not utilized and so forth. I want to know if the admin is aware of it. So if you are aware, what are you doing about that situation? And I think Mr. Wallace has responded on the officials that were trained but I'm not certain about the response from the beneficiaries, because this report, if someone was not part of this meeting, he would assume that there were beneficiaries that were trained. But from the report we're getting from Mr. Wallace, seemingly there were no beneficiaries that were trained, because there are budgetary constraints that are being experienced by the department. So if this can be corrected, put into the correct perspective, I would appreciate that. And then I've got the issue of the waiting list project.
We are happy that it has been completed in the Western Cape, but I would like to know what is the plan to roll it over to other provinces, because all the provinces are having the problem of the waiting list. And last, it has happened the issue of the ESS. I hope this program is being in place collectively, because if you can take it back from the report of the Auditor General, that was a very crucial matter that was raised. So if it's happening, we are happy that it's happening, you take it seriously, but you are going to monitor if it is implemented in all provinces.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Chair, thank you. I could see that Mr. Wallace is not able to answer some of these questions, but I have to repeat about the duration, time, that untraining of these cities are. And then I want to say, if can every province take care of its own city government, I'm talking about remuneration, not the department. I actually wanted to know where are they actually coming from. Because we've got disadvantaged provinces like the Eastern Cape, where there are problems, but Mpumalanga. But I think that was not, the department is not specific enough. So I just wanted to know about where they come from and the duration of training of the CDWs, of the 60 CDWs. But I want to emphasize the CDWs are being trained by their provinces, not the department. That's my follow-up. That was my follow-up question. I needed clarity on that. It's where exactly. Because you cannot just say 10,000 beneficiaries trained where. You want to know exactly where. Because there's a need in other provinces. I'm emphasizing on that one. So the next time the department comes here, they must tell us where. They must give us all these answers. We mustn't shop around to seek our answers from ourselves. I think we are here to help each other. Thank you.
Thank you. Firstly, I don't think my question regarding the reporting of financial and non-financial activities were answered at all. So if I could get some answer there. Then, Chairperson, Honorable Dambuza touched on the HSS, and we know what the department gave us a report, I think it was last year, in terms of the measures that they've taken to improve on the subsidy system. However, Chairperson, if one looks at the annual report, where the Auditor General is identified, there still appears to be huge gaps within the management of it. And one that they talk about, for example, is that program changes were not logged to establish an adequate audit trial, nor reviewed by senior officials who were independent. Now, there is a big gap in the HSS system, considering what has been identified in terms of fraudulent subsidy. And similarly, Chairperson, I'm very concerned, even though it was said earlier about an internal audit team that exists. I mean, there was a problem for the asset register that has been identified. Now, that's something the internal audit team should identify. But there's also problems, major problems, or significant weaknesses identified in terms of the bank system. And a big one being that there's no recovery plan in place. Now, we all know how finicky computers are. And it tells me if something has to happen today to that system, then the department would be in chaos. Now that surely should be something that they should be addressing. Then just, Chair, lastly, there was, the one about the institutions. Again, it hasn't been addressed satisfactorily, or certainly to my satisfaction. My whole question around it was that they get quarterly reports so that one can pick up the problem early and then try and address the problem. And that doesn't seem to be the case here. The quarterly reports are submitted, and yet at the end of a financial year, we've got something like 5 or 6 out of the 8 institutions which are in crisis, according to their own report. So what are they getting the quarterly reports for if it's not an early warning system?
Thank you, Chair. Remember, the quarterly reports are
making a suggestion.
especially all the senior members who are being invited for the courses, and then they just send the junior officials. And I think it is very important that the training must be undergone by a course. Now if, because it sounded like a bit of a frustration when it was raised, that only junior officials are being sent. Therefore, I would suggest that we must appeal to the higher authorities. If people are looking down upon us when we call them, then why don't we engage the office of the minister to facilitate such a thing and tell the members to attend and lead their delegation of the junior officials? I think it makes sense in that.
Ma'am, there is a very simple manner of doing it. I'll give the DCC after. Because the KPI should be linked to training. And if they don't train, don't give them bonuses, simple. It must be linked to KPI.
Thank you, sir. I want to respond to that here. A lot of comment made by Mr. Fadi. Thank you. I think Chairperson, that is correct, but the challenge is remained. I will tackle the question that I think that probably remains in terms of complete resources 1, 2, so that those questions are also responded. I think there is a reference to a certain progress made to dealing with the processes of development of the system and the cleanup. To ensure that there is an improvement in the alignment and tracing of the information that relates to financial and non-financial information. That is an internal process within the unit that deals with the information management, the HFS. I think what's reflected there is a measured progress that they have made, taking into account that they need to clean all of the processes. Sorry, they need to work towards cleaning all of the key deliverables and milestones around that issue. At a particular stage, they will produce a report that effectively will tell us how do we finally account to all, both internal for management purposes and for publication purposes, on the extent to which we are delivering in a manner that would be understood by everybody. There would be no question about the level of satisfaction with the information. I think that relates to all of those processes. At a particular stage, once they've done that work sufficiently, there will be processes put in place to engage. I think that's done jointly with the monitoring unit of the department to be able to answer the questions and begin to produce the data that is required for measurement of impact, etc. And I think that's what they're dealing with. What's happening in the system itself, you also need to go back historically and deal with some of that so that you can be able to have comparative numbers that make sense. There is a reference, I think, in the AG does to further work. It's not a repetition of the same issues that were reported for in the previous audit. Further work was done by the AG at a different level. And that level relates to at the, like they would do with Treasury, to test the transversal systems that Treasury is managing, the management of those using international benchmarks. The ISO, what is it, ISO numbers, 9000 and whatever those standards, to check whether system development, that technical process, system development are properly documented. They have the ability to go back to those system developments when they use them, particular institutions and when they use them, etc. And I think that is the last part, unfortunately, was not part of that. It should have been a comprehensive thing, but when we got that big issue, the bashing on the HSS, you could have been part of that, because the control at any higher level. They raised the issues, and some of them
I think I have been a subject of discussion with CETA. Sometimes we think CETA is dealing with as much concern as their system provided for the IT from CETA. And sometimes they are not dealing with those kind of things. They then, what is new, which is good for us, is that they also did work on the BLAS system. They're now the drone special system that are treasury competencies. And in that regard, they were dealing with some of the transition issues and user management issues, and they raised them. And I think we've accepted and dealt with some of them. Some of them are systemic, and therefore we've had to deal with them in conjunction with the accounting general. One of the biggest problems is that they do it this year, they have not done it before, ever. And at this juncture, some of the system improvements and some of the things we wanted to do in order to improve on those controls are being held in abeyance because there is a move to have a new integrated financial management system. And therefore, further developments on the system that are going to be taken away, discontinued with by treasury are not used with that. And therefore, we need to have in-house a management process to deal with them. And I think that is these reports did raise those, and the finances dealing with them. We indicated on the asset part. We have appointed people to help us Kobojo deal with just the cleaning up of the process that were not otherwise done. We are appointing dedicated people to deal with the issues of our assets. The reality is that in the past we were such a small department. It was easy to manage all of these things, and we assume that the processes are being followed. It's very clear we need to make sure that there is a dedicated management of these things because we have grown now. We've also, because of the manner in which we are structured now, we also have assets elsewhere, that are in provinces, etc. And they need to be the physical controls that are required. The management controls that are required need to be spread to those as well. And I think that is what helped us with the... The outstanding issue regarding the institution quarterly report. Yes, Chairperson, just without differing that much with what the assessment of the honorable member is on the extent of the crisis of the institution, the extent of the difficulties, let's say the crisis, and while there might be very high difficulties with others, I think the quarterly reviews, the constant communication, constant evaluation of the information, in fact, we've always told the institutions that underperform about those issues, including some of the issues of non-compliance that there is. We do that on an ongoing basis. Those who finance, obviously, we would withhold the payments until they start to deal with some of the things. But for those that we don't finance, we have engaged with them. One of the things, I think, for example, if one looks at the non-performance of institutions of the NHSC, I think that is known. It's a constant thing that we tell them that you are underperforming. Perhaps there are processes, both that evaluation process that Mr. Osman referred to, which is now coming to a close, that will begin to tell us what are the institutional proposals we need to deal with in order to deal with those matters in totality, including probably the whatever changes would be required. But we also have to understand that proactively the minister led the process of reviewing some of the mandate issues that probably were unrelated to the challenges that the institution must deal with now, such as having to work through intermediaries only in an environment that has changed in the current situation. And those are part of the things. In fact, NHSC is now also in trying to directly go to the consumers and help consumers on a first-hand arrangement. They are also getting into collaboration and using infrastructure. I think they are testing now their new model to the post bank. And they are engaging other institutions, for example, that are coming up with a very creative product that banks don't have on housing finance. And I think you will get a briefing once some of those decisions are.
representative.
I think that is what with the proper members, that let's have a separate engagement with the department. That's going directly to the health institution. Because the concern of members in particular is that, yes, the health institutions are facing the new pretty new crown strategy, and they need to realign with the territories of the strategy itself. But what we've also seen that some of the institutions that we are facing challenges, they've been given new additional tasks without proper support mechanisms in place to assist these institutions. I'll give you an example, Tubelisha, for example. We feel that Tubelisha has been given a huge mandate to deal with at the moment. And we don't see the department taking up responsibility of ensuring that this entity is able to pull the mandate. It's good that we give an institution the mandate, but what is it that is in place that is there to assist the institution to fulfill the mandate? That is the, what is at the center of the question. What we want to do. It's good. We must empower the institution, but let's support them.
I think, Chairperson, your proposal would most appropriately deal with those questions and go to the nitty-gritty. The third one is, I think if there is reference to what is disclosed in the annual report, I think the guidelines issued by Treasurer that just give broadly what the institutions are about and what they are targeted, what are the key achievements at a very high level. Then the details will be in each of those institutions and your financial annual report, and I think the committee does engage on those from time to time. Maybe the details will then be contained therein. Probably that discussion could also be accommodated within that context. Thank you.
I just wanted to know from Mr. Wallace that in terms of the subsidy, what was the subsidy that we then, when we started in 1994 to the RTP house, for example? Now the subsidy is 66,000, quite good. But when we started, 18 square meters, what was the quantum of the time?
Chair, we at that stage, if I remember correctly, we had 4 subsidy bands.
Mm.
And for the income groups 0 to 800, and Louis must help me out here, I think it was 12,000 or 12,500 initially. Then it went up to 15,000, 18,000, 21,000, 16. There was a 16 as well at one stage, 15, 16 actually. But for the first few years we had the full band, 0 to 800 income and 800 to 1,500. We collapsed those two. And I think that's when the subsidy went up to 15,000 at that time. So we talk about the 15,000, because that covers that initially, the initial 0 to 1,500. Now you'll recall, Chair, at that stage there were no preschools. Communities could, in fact, on a social compact basis, decide whether they actually only wanted land and services and no job structure, or whatever the case was. And that led to major problems, of course, because municipalities pushed communities into higher levels of services at a higher cost, with the result that people would receive 9 square meter house, for instance. And that's when we started trying up the normal standard initially.
We just want to see, because now we are almost 13 years down and we've moved, but the challenge is still enormous. But I think there has been a quality change, which is quite good. Members were left with one area of presentation, which is Program 5, and we're looking at the time. Do you think we're going to do justice on this program? I think we should allow them to do the presentation or propose the presentation. Let me hear from members. It's 1 o'clock now.
I just want to ask
We've just received the presentation and we've just received the annual report. Is there going to be another opportunity after we've worked through the annual report where the department is going to come and we can then ask them questions based on our analysis of the report rather than just the presentation? If that is the case, then obviously we can then incorporate this program fund. But this deals mainly with the transfer of the fund.
So, members, are you happy with that approach that we go back and have another term of engaging with the department? When they come to us, we're not going to allow them to do presentation. We'll just engage with what is remaining or coming out of what they're going to get within the report. Mr. Schneeman, what are you saying?
Chair, I'm going to say that we, if I'm not mistaken, you've been talking about us engaging with the other annual reports of the entity.
That's what I want to do.
Then we could continue with the section, because there's not much section to enter. It's really questions that we would want to be asking. So I wouldn't have a problem with that approach. But Chair, can I ask something? You know, right at the beginning, an apology was given for the DG. And maybe there's valid reasons, but I'm not so sure. But, you know, when the department is presenting its annual report, I think the DG should be with us. And as I say, perhaps there are reasons, but I would then want to make him feel, if we're going to deal with the reports of the entities and then come back to this program fund, can we please therefore ask that the DG be present when that takes place next year?
I think, yes, I agree that there's a DG will be present when we deal with the entities and there's a special request to do that. But I think at the beginning, the DG did indicate that the DG had serious feminism. Apologies. No, he didn't hear because that's speaking to me. I'm sorry about that. But he did indicate it is a feminist commitment and I think we respect that. We do. The member didn't hear that. I think I should be informed the members. I'm sorry about that. We accept that. Okay. So next time when we did, we would like to have an engagement and we prefer that we have a formal engagement on the social health institution. And we'll deal with program 5 at the time. Is that okay with the department?
Yes.
Thank you very much for that engagement and thanks to the members of the department. And we urge members of parliament to remain so that we can put out our feelings for next year. The lunch is at the old assembly dining hall downstairs. Please, you are invited, all of you, for lunch. And thanks to the GDG and we thank your team. We applaud the program. We look at the grey area. Thank you.